ladies, gentlemen, and everyone else listening, welcome back to Commissions Open Season 2. Character design for the set by Doida Flower on Twitter. Promotional art by Andromeda_Snow on Twitter. Icon created by Shy Starfall. Commissions Open logo created by Melodic Scavenger. And tonight's guest, the little bard in the big city, and the accordion player who covers the songs in our hearts, it's Punchworm! And here's your host, Doc Conrad! Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Commissions Open, an interview podcast all about art in the digital age. Here you can hear the processes, stories, and lives of talented artists, voice actors, video creators, editors, musicians, and many other talented creators in the era of online work. I am your host, Doc Conrad, and today we have somebody filling in the special role of musicians in terms of guest, Nia, a.k.a. Punchworm. Hello, how are you?
Hello, Doc. How are you? I'm good.
I'm good. Okay, so we had a little bit of a discussion about how you want to go ahead and set things up. But why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for everybody who doesn't know who you are?
Okay. My name is Nia. Some people know me as Punchworm. I do a lot of video game covers on Twitter.com. And I also compose video game music and some stuff for films, etc. That's pretty much all I do.
And you, why don't we talk a bit about how you got into that sort of that sort of line of work, like you getting into music and cover work and stuff like that. Like, how was it that you first got started with music?
God, I have been doing covers for as long as I can remember. Back when I was like in middle school, I always loved to learn my favorite songs and how to play them and singing them. I was about 13, and I was on Tumblr, for better or for worse.
I understand.
I was on Tumblr, and I was watching this video of, it was like a Swedish band that made electronic folk music. This is like the lamest origin story. It just gets worse and worse. But they had an accordion in their band, and I was watching them, and I just loved it so much, and I was like, I want to do that. So I begged my parents to get me one, and I did, and that's how I started playing the accordion. That was 7 years ago. Oh my god. I taught myself how to play watching videos and learning all of their songs and just doing so many covers in the subsequent years. And that's pretty much it. That's how I got started. It was always sort of like a repressed-ish hobby for me, because my older sister is also very musically oriented. And she was very much known as like the musical sibling. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be different from her. Not even that, but like our parents and the people around us made us out to be so like different. And they dichotomized us from such an early age that I felt like I couldn't even be like her if I tried. So I did some music stuff through my teenage years. Like I wrote some songs. I did, you know, my covers and, you know, high school a cappella group, unfortunately. I fought it a lot. Like, I didn't embrace it fully. It was never, like, my main thing, even if I knew in my heart, like, I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. But, like, the problem was that, like, I wasn't really passionate about, like, anything else either. Like, and that became, like, especially apparent around the time college applications came around, because I had no idea what I wanted to do, man. Like, again, my older sister, like, she went to a very expensive, like, private liberal arts college for music, and my pride was like, you are gonna go to an affordable public state school, and you're gonna major in something, like, practical, like, business. And that's what I did. I went to business school. I went for about like a year and a half. I wasn't terrible at it. Like academically, I could have used some like improvement, but in like less than 2 years of schooling, like I'd done like 3 internships and I was like on track to like having like a career. But it wasn't like a good time, like at all. Because I didn't know why I was doing any of it. Like, I had no personal goals. It just felt like life was happening to me, and it was, like, all very passive, and I was very indifferent to all of it. And, like, none of it had, like, any significant meaning to me whatsoever. And also, like, I was basing my self-worth off of this whole, like, successful, like, career shtick, which was terrible because, like, other people could like look at me and like perceive me as being like accomplished or whatever, but I couldn't, like, again, like none of it had any personal significance, so it all just felt very like shallow and like empty. Like I felt like so like disconnected from like everything. And then last year I dropped out of school, and I got out of a relationship, and I lost a couple friends who I was really close to. It was like the most like devastating and isolating time in my life. I guess I just needed an outlet for everything that I was feeling, and I just instinctively like picked up my accordion again, and I started to play music and do covers again. Just like it felt sort of instinctive, like I hadn't done any of that in, you know, a couple years, at least not seriously. And like looking back, it was like very strange, like having this, like, I don't know, like I had nothing, and then for some reason like my instinct was to just like go back to music. I guess I never really realized how much it like really meant to me until I started to do it, you know, when I had no other option, when I had nothing else to do. It was crazy. So I started to do covers. This was like the summer of last year. That's when I got my whole start. I started doing covers again. I started posting them to Twitter on a whim, because again, like I like lost, it really felt like I lost everything. And I was just like making these covers, and I guess my way of like shouting into the void was posting them on Twitter. And for some reason, like, people, like, really liked them, and they were sharing them. And that's, yeah, that's, like, how I got my whole start. Like, I had nothing, so I started to make music again. And all of a sudden, music, like, became, like, everything. Like, period. And I'm really glad that that happened, because I'm having so much fun doing it.
I'm glad, too. I mean, it's very important for there to be, like, sort of a driving passion behind the things that you do, and I'm glad that, like, despite, like, your big shift, you ended up finding something that, like, really spoke to you, and, like, gave you, that's given you an outlet so far, and you've been able to make it, like, work, especially. That's what's most important, is, like, being, not only being able to go ahead and, like, work on it, and dedicating yourself to it, but making it, work out for yourself as well as you have, and like continue to grow forward. I want to see you grow much further than you already have. You already play amazing, and I want to hear like more of the work that you do, including like original stuff and like commission, and like your commission work and your covers are great, but I want to hear like more stuff, like some original pieces from you. That'd be amazing to hear.
Absolutely. Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was just going to go ahead and say, like, so a lot of that happened to be from, like, you say that you pretty much just, like, you went from, you dropped out with there being a lack of passion to not find, for like, what was that in-between period before you found the music again? Was that, like, was it during the same time frame that you, like, you decided it during which you left, or did you leave because there was nothing, looking for something, then you found your music again? Like, is that how it worked?
Yeah, it was more the former. When I dropped out, I had no idea that I was going to be doing anything like musically related at all. And there was about, hold on, let me think. So I dropped out in January 2020. And I started doing music again about like July that same year. So there was a couple of months where I was like,
God, you mean 2019, right?
No. Oh yeah. Oh wow. Wow. What year is it, man?
I know it gets to you. It's 2020 right now, and I'm like, I think I've heard more about you before January 2020. I was worried for a sec.
Oh man. January 2019 is when I dropped out. Jeez. And then summer 2019 is when I started doing music. That like in between period is such like a, it is such like a blank time in my life. I was in a relationship, and that I guess is what was really holding me together. And it wasn't until I got out of that relationship in the summer, again, like it wasn't until like I had to lose absolutely everything in order to rediscover my passion for music, man. All I was doing was just like laying in bed, like watching Vine Saws. Like I watched so much Vine Saws. it was just a really sad time, man. Like I really felt like I had nothing.
Sorry for the slight tangent to bring you back bad times, but which Vine Saws members?
Oh, Vinny.
Vinny, okay.
Definitely, yeah, so much Vinny. He was my crutch, and then I ended up meeting him at a con later that summer, and I was like, man, like you got me through some tough times, dude. He really did, though. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that summer, God, I hate that I'm like thinking of this, associating my life with this, but it was like that Selena Gomez song where she's like, "I needed to lose you to love me." it was basically like that. I had to lose everything in order to realize that, you know, there is something that I'm passionate about. I just, you know, kind of had been ignoring it for such a long time.
I wouldn't want to go and put words in your mouth, but would you say that, like, you let other people like decide things somewhat for you, or like you had a set perception of yourself that you wanted to appease others rather than what you thought was great?
Absolutely, yeah. Especially the whole, like, you know, my definition of success was so different from what it is now. But I felt like I was being ungrateful when I decided to drop out of school, because like I said, like I was on track to, like, you know, having, you know, what some people would consider like a successful life, and definitely like in the eyes of my parents, they were like so proud of me and stuff, for everything that I'd accomplished, but it just wasn't resonating with me like at all. And I felt a little bit guilty that it just wasn't like clicking for me. And I kind of felt awful because I was like, man, why don't I feel good? You know, like I just really didn't, there were so many things about myself and like about, I guess, just like my life that I just really didn't understand because again, like up until like very recently, like I said, I feel like I've been participating in life in like a very passive way, and like it's only until I discovered what I really wanted to do that changed, and I was more like in control and more like in tune with myself and what I really want to do and who I really want to be and how I want to be perceived and things like that.
So let's actually go ahead and take a step forward from that, because while it's good to go ahead and reflect on who you were and like the things that you went through, I think it's also important to reflect on like the things that you've become, especially with that of your success involving like your music and the passion in which other people can see it within like that which you make. Why don't you go ahead and talk about like the experience of like growing as an artist further on, like from like this point forward, and the kind of covers that you make, and like what is the reason like you choose your covers especially?
When I started doing covers on Twitter, it was really strange, because the one like comment that I would always get consistently on these videos is like people would always say like, this made me smile, or like, this like made my day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a feeling that I really wanted to like hold on to, because like in my mind it's like, what more like do you want like out of your work? Like that is like
mm-hmm.
that is like the peak for me. Like,
yeah,
if I can do something like that, you know, make somebody smile or, you know, make them feel better somehow, then like that is so great. Mm-hmm. And that's really why I continued doing the covers, because like, I don't know, like, when I started getting comments like that, it just really felt like to me like that this was something that I was really meant to do. And it's something that's like the thing that I've always wanted. I never knew I wanted it, but then I got it and I was like, holy shit, like I really like want to keep doing this. So the way I choose my covers, I've always loved to just like play my favorite songs, but mm-hmm. I started gearing more towards video game covers because, again, it's something that for a lot of people, like, it can capture like nostalgia or, you know, joy, happiness, because a lot of people, you know, these are songs that a lot of people cherish or they grew up with or this and that. So I decided to keep doing video game covers because they just resonated with so many people. And of course, Animal Crossing covers. Animal Crossing covers are the easiest to do because those, like, of all the video game music, like, that is the most accordion friendly because there's already so much accordion in those songs.
Mm-hmm.
So those are really fun to do, but it's also fun to just like put, you know, an accordion spin on just like any piece of music. But yeah, I think back to all the video games that I played growing up and I cover my favorite songs and, you know, it just, you know, luckily turns out that a lot of people can relate to them too and they enjoy them a whole lot. So
I think that your music, you said you first found your love to the accordion through like, you said like, Swedish folk music.
Yeah, name of the band was Detective Byron, which I think in Swedish means like the detective. It's such like a niche thing. I think it means the detective agency. And mm-hmm. you know what? I kind of skipped out on this detail because it's super embarrassing. But that like the way I made it to their videos is because somebody on Tumblr like used their song in a Homestuck like fan video.
It all goes back to Homestuck. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that Homestuck has that much of an impact on all of our lives. I too was someone who was very much into Homestuck.
You would think like it that line and that like so many illustrators like get their start from Homestuck or they have gotten their start from Homestuck, but believe it or not, it has influenced a whole lot of musicians too.
Mm-hmm. Especially that of Toby Fox, I'm guessing, like, that.
Oh, probably yeah, a big absolutely. One. Yeah, no, Toby Fox, he's a legend. Like, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This is a public call out to Toby Fox. Whenever you're not busy making Deltarune, hit me up for a podcast. collab with Punchboard, please. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see your music inside of Deltarune. But, like, I think it could totally fit. There's a lot to be said about like the work that you do, especially of like your recording. Like you like I said, like you have a bit of like a like in terms of getting like the sort of nostalgia factor, it definitely helps with like the accordion being a relatively like antiquated and older instrument that's mm-hmm. being reused for like things, and I definitely think that helps evoke that sense of nostalgia in a lot of different things. Is that what really caught you about the attention of like the accordion got you in that regard of like that sort of feeling of nostalgia, or is it something else?
Wow, you know, I never really thought about like what drew me to it in the first place, but you know, thinking back, the music of this band that I'm talking about definitely does like it is very evocative of those type of feelings, and it was just unlike anything I had ever heard. It's like accordion music is weird, like it's in so many different cultures too. Like you can think of it in like polka music, which is like weird, and then it's in like tango music, like, you know, Latin cultures use it, but also like a lot of European cultures use it as well. It's like weirdly all over the place, but that's also like what I love about it is like how versatile it can be. I don't think many people realize that, because I feel like what I've noticed is like when people think of an accordion or hear an accordion, they usually have like one like specific culture that they associate it with, like
mine being polka because of Weird Al Yankovic. Like that's the initial idea, like, comes from me. But
but also like for a lot of other people, they think of like, they're like, oh, Ratatouille, like you know, like like French. A lot of the French association is very like common. But you know, when I started playing, I guess I realized that, you know, it can be a lot of things, and you can put it in electronic music. That is like, and that's, you know, what I'm trying to do. And I always get this comment too when I like share an original piece of work with somebody. They always like, wow, I'm really surprised that the accordion fits in there. Like, I'm like, yeah, like it's not just like Wee Wee Baguette, man. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't want to get like too like, this is definitely like outside of my wheelhouse, and I could be speaking totally wrong on it, but I think it comes from the fact that it's partly a wind instrument, with that being the squeezing portion of it, and the keyboard with the button playing and all of that. So it adds to like, with those multitude of factors, it can like, that's how it's able to be so versatile, because it can have that sort of like the ability to like give long or shorter versions of notes, like that of like holding a note like in a brass or a wind, where it can also be like with a key with like a string, like in that sort of regard, it can like have those sort of versatile effects, and it can
you absolutely nailed it. That is, I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Dang, I'm getting out here. Maybe I should pick up the accordion.
Do you have a degree in music, Doc?
No, like, no,
damn,
no, no. Don't try this. No, I play video games too much, and I talk to people on the internet. I'm not like.
That's a perfect description. And even like the accordion itself, like the whole like anatomy of it. I don't know if you've ever like taken a good look at what an accordion actually is, but like. Most accordions have they have these like switches on them that change the tone entirely to make it sound like a bassoon or like a higher pitched wind instrument, like you were saying, or like that full-fledged like classic like accordion sound that you're so used to hearing in I don't know, Italian music or something like that. There are there are so many different options when it comes to the accordion, and that's what I love about it.
And that's mostly been like your main focus, and the stuff that you've like worked on especially is stuff involving the accordion. But have you ever like further dabbled into other instruments, or has it mostly just been that being your main focus because you enjoy it so much?
I play any like keyed instrument. Like I've done like melodica covers in the past. I play just like piano, keyboard. I don't really do well with like guitar, string. Like I've tried when I was younger, but it just never really stuck with me. I guess because like I was always like playing the piano already. Like if you can play the piano, then like I know the accordion looks like super daunting, but if you got like average piano skills, you can play the accordion. Like it's really not it's just like, you know, turned around. It's the other way.
Just on its side, you have to carry it. Yeah, imagine carrying a small piano, and then you press it together like constantly, and have it be on its side.
Exactly. So easy. Like, a lot of people are daunted by it, and it's. I mean, I don't blame them because it looks like a, you know, scary instrument. It really does. Mm-hmm. It's also a lot heavier than I am. You can see me like struggling in my videos sometimes because it is so big and so heavy. So I don't even know how I did it when I was younger, man. Like I could have seriously injured myself. Hell yeah, man. Like, what were we talking about?
That's the best part about this podcast. We could talk about whatever we want involved with we could talk about a lot of different things involving that, but let's go ahead and talk a bit more about the process in which like you've made this a semi career, because you we've discussed a bit about like your passion for the industry, the instrument, and your work behind like how you got into mm-hmm. it. But like there's of course the case of like you want to go ahead and make this a more of a not only do you need to go ahead and feed yourself, but like the passion right. needs to be go ahead and like it'll of course always helps if like people support you involved with that. So why don't you mm-hmm. go ahead and talk a bit about your passion involved with like how use it that you got like either commissions or getting sort of like paid to do this sort of work. I'd love to hear about that.
Colonel, I'm inside of this podcast, but I'm not entirely sure what it's all about. You're currently in the podcast known as Commissions Open, the interview podcast all about art in the digital age. But there's no interview being done. What do you mean? What I'm saying is that you're currently in the middle bit. The middle bit?
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Middle Bit. I'm your host, Doc Conrad, and let's get things started, shall we? If you didn't know from the last episode, I have been streaming live on Twitch every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 10 p.m. EST, and Saturdays at a random point in time. If you are listening to this right now, in fact, later on today, I will be doing a stream. Not entirely sure what it's going to be on Saturday, but it's going to be a good one. I know that for certain. Have a lot of fun with those all the time. Having fun playing Minecraft, Among Us, all those sort of games. It's been quite a bit of fun playing games with fans, friends, people that I know, past guests of the podcast, and all that. So, if you want to go ahead and catch me live every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 10 p.m. EST, that is twitch.tv/DrConrad. Again, that is twitch.tv/DrConrad. Also, I've been seeing a lot of support coming from some big fans of the podcast over the past few days, and it's been great to go ahead and see. I want to go ahead and get the ball rolling again, so if you want to go ahead and suggest this podcast to anyone that you think might enjoy it, please go ahead and do so. I'd love to go ahead and check it out. And if you're a fan of the show, feel free to go ahead and at me on Twitter, at @ComsOpenPodcast. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, at @ComsOpenPodcast, and you can go ahead and check me out there. Also, if you happen to be someone who's watching the podcast on YouTube, be sure to hit subscribe and hit the like button. It would really help me out quite a bit. And if you're listening on whatever app you use, I would love it if you would go ahead and follow the podcast. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcast, anything you want to go ahead and do, just go ahead and follow me there. That'd be amazing. All right, I'm going to go ahead and cut it back to Nia. They've been a wonderful guest. They are a wonderful guest, and I can't wait to go ahead and hear more from them later. All right, talk to you soon. Bye.
So I never thought I'd be at that point ever. Like, I never considered making it into a career. I never, if we're being honest, like, I struggled with even considering myself an artist in the first place. Like, when I was doing covers, I always saw myself as just more of somebody who is, you know, entertaining people on the internet. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't, I didn't have a problem with it. I just didn't really see it as, like, anything artistic about it. Mm-hmm. I was just, like, you know, somebody, like, playing covers on the internet and people were enjoying it. And I was like, okay, this is cool. I can do this. And I guess I got a little burnt out after a while because you can only do so many covers. Mm-hmm. and I think I mentioned before, like, I've always dabbled in, like, writing my own music. Even, like, throughout high school, I was writing songs. And, you know, weirdly enough, people always told me that my music sounded like video game music. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, that's I don't even, I wasn't sure if I should take it as a compliment or not, but I was like, okay. And I guess I was feeling that burnout, and I was always kind of scared to share my original work. I guess I follow so many talented musicians on Twitter who make original work, and I'm like, man, like, like it can be really daunting. Like I you know, mm-hmm. that fear of like judgment is definitely there. But I did it. I started to share my original work, and people, surprisingly, they liked it as much as they liked my covers. And I was like, wow, that's really surprising. And it was great too, because, you know, now I could have a much more, I guess, like engaging sort of outlet, mm-hmm. rather than just doing covers, which is fun. I love, you know, making any sort of like musical video. But the process of making music is so much more engaging, and, you know, it's, I think, a much better outlet for me. And I'm just really grateful that people, you know, are into it and that they like my music. So I started to do like smaller projects just for friends, like, you know, like friends who go to art school, and like they're like, hey, I need a song for like this animated film that I'm making, you know, could you, you know, make something for me? Like, oh, sure, yeah, I'll do that. I just started by doing very little tiny projects like that for just close friends, really. And then mm-hmm. the more I started to post original work, it was really not that long ago. I posted an original piece, and I think in the tweet I said something like, oh, like, hit me up if you want music for your like D&D campaign or something like that. And like the floodgates like opened. Like I feel like it was like a whole like untapped market of people who play D&D and needed like music for their campaigns. And I was like, oh, okay, like I was like half kidding, but I can totally like, you know, make music for your thing if you want. And that's how I got started. And then around the same time, people who are in the game industry also started hitting me up, which was like an even bigger shock. Mm-hmm. And I signed on to do some music for them too.
I don't want to like interrupt in case there's like NDAs or whatever. You don't have to go ahead and state what they are, but I'd love to hear about like some of those things.
Yeah. Well, nothing that I have worked on is officially out yet, so I can't. Mm-hmm. But pretty soon, like, I should be able to share some of the games that I'm working on. That, like, it's just crazy to me that I can even, like, say, like, oh, I'm working on games. Like, yeah. Like, what? but, yeah, the last video I shared is a commission from a game that I'm now working on, which is super exciting. That's pretty much where I'm at, though. It's just, like, you know, working on these emails that I've been getting. People have all sorts of, like, fun little projects for me, which is, like, wow. It's so crazy. Yeah.
Have you ever had any semi-rude clientele, especially? I know the commissioning, like, situation could be, like, oh, yeah, I don't want to work with you because, like, you don't want to work with certain people because of, like, the way they, like, either be undercutting or, like, the way you've been, like, the way they might treat you or whatever. Like, I know that can be the case, but I'm wondering if that's, like, happened to you yet, or have you been, like, pretty good about setting things and, like, setting boundaries for people, or?
Yeah, not yet. Nothing. I definitely have not had, like, a truly bad experience yet. People, surprisingly, throughout my entire, like, Twitter thing, people have always been very, like, respectful to me, which is very surprising, because I feel like I see a lot, especially with artists, people get, like, a lot of, like, shit for no reason. Mm-hmm. Like, like, Twitter can be a very, it can be a very rough place for a lot of artists. You know, I'm sure there's plenty of that in store for me in the future, but so far I've been pretty lucky.
That's good. I think it's really good that you've been able to go ahead and expand your work from just solely covers to original work, and now getting a chance to commission your own work. I think it's like, it's really shows how you've grown further as an artist, especially like in terms of like how everything was and how everything's like gone from the beginning to like growing to where you are now. It's a great story to go ahead and tell other people and get other people inspired to like be passionate about your own individual work. And I think it's always important for others to go ahead and recognize like that's one of the one of the biggest things involved is, like, as an artist, it's important to go ahead and focus on yourself and, like, grow further from there. And I'm glad that you've been able to go ahead. Like, people have been supportive and experienced it, have, like, helped you with this experience as well. Is there anything that you have, is there anything else you want to go ahead and add on to that, like, involved with it?
Well, like you said, I totally hope that there are people out there looking at my work and my stuff and being inspired by it, especially like on the accordion front. That sounds kind of like nerdy, but like the accordion is like a dying instrument. Like, I really, if I can inspire like anybody in any way, that like, that is so, so cool, especially because like, I just remember being a very weird, very cringy, like little kid, and being inspired by people on the internet. Like if you grew up online, like, you kind of know what I'm talking about. Like, it's, there are a lot of cool people on the internet, and I just think it's kind of surreal that, you know, people have reached out to me and be like, hey, like, you inspired me to do this or that. And, like, that is such a great feeling, and I hope that I can inspire like as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think that you have, you not only have the potential, but like with this sort of interview, like being able to describe the things that you've like gone through is a much better way of like explaining to people how you've sort of grown from the work that you used to do, and like how where you used to be at, and now where you are now, and how you're going to continue to grow. Because I know you're going to continue to grow, because your art is always quality, and the work that you do is always like amazing. Like, it's going to be not if but when of like grow of like blowing up further and further.
Thank you so much, man. That's so nice of you to say.
Of course. I wouldn't say it wasn't true. But the go ahead and like step back a little bit to talk a bit about like we talked a bit about like who you are as like an individual from your story of like how you got into music, but I'd love to go ahead and know a little bit more like about who you are just in general, like the things that you do like further on beyond this. Like, you have, of course, your passion that you're focused on. You want to go ahead and like keep this sort of work on and like focus on as well, but what are some other things that like other people might not know about you, like to like the surface level? I'd love to hear about it.
God, that's such a hard question. That is the hardest question you've asked all day. I want to know about me. What?
Yeah, it's all about you.
it's tough to sit back and like reflect on who I am, especially because these last few months, like, my work has been like all consuming. Mm-hmm. It's never a good thing to be so indulged in your work that you forget who you are. But that can definitely be the case for me sometimes. But I can tell you that, you know, when I'm not making music, I play a lot of Destiny. I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty too lately. I picked up my Xbox for the first time in, I don't know, like a year, and I'm like, you know, there are great games on the Xbox. So I got Game Pass, and I've been playing like Destiny and Call of Duty, and of course Animal Crossing has been, I think I have probably like 150 hours on Animal Crossing right now, which is not good. It's not good at all.
Is your 5 stars, yeah, though? That's what it's for.
Yeah, I mean, why is this such a hard question?
It's always a difficult thing to reflect on yourself, but I think it's like it's odd because I think it's important for others to know like the other things about you. So how about this? I'll go ahead and ask some more poignant questions. You can go ahead
Please
and like
guide
decide from
me.
There.
Please,
I will guide so you lost. Along. I will guide I'm you so along lost. This is
who am I? I need to go back to therapy.
God, sometimes honestly, podcasting is a semi-therapeutic thing because it's like just discussing things like about yourself, and it's like there's a
I'm gonna like hang up from this call and like have a very like long shower. I'm like, man, what happened?
No, bro. So that's like more of a human condition sort of question, but I think what's important is to know the little things about like what you do, like for instance, I mentioned it to you like earlier, if you're okay with discussing it, like things involving like your race, like you are you're Puerto Rican, is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I was just curious, like you live in New York and your family's Puerto Rican, like there's a lot of things involved with like at least those facts you can go ahead and discuss about like yourself alone, like I'd love to hear more absolutely. About like that, like yeah. growing up.
Absolutely. Thank you for getting me back on track.
You're fine.
I live a very interesting life at home in terms of being Puerto Rican, because mm-hmm. my father and my mother they're both Puerto Rican, but they are very, very different types of Puerto Rican. Like my dad, for instance, he grew up in a very like rural, traditional Puerto Rican life, like on Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And my mom, she was born and raised from Puerto Rican parents here in New York. So one of my parents had a very traditional upbringing, and my other parent had a very like American upbringing. And it's a very interesting sort of relationship that they have, because there are a lot of things that my dad really doesn't like, I guess, understand about American culture. And about like just like the English language and things like that. So growing up, I was always just like watching my mom, like, you know, help him navigate, you know, American life. And it was just such a very, it's an interesting position to be in, especially we grew up, I'm from New York, but we live in like a very white suburb outside of the city. So it's not like, you know, that traditional New York City melting pot that everybody like pretty much thinks of when they imagine New York.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up in a very like white neighborhood, and I don't know, like it's always been like my dad is a very friendly person, and he loves like doing his yard work and like feeding his birds. Like he's a very like, when you think of like a traditional Puerto guy, like that's him. Mm-hmm. And he really makes an effort to like be friends with everybody in the neighborhood, despite them like being very white and very American. And I've always had this like experience, like watching him, you know, reach out to our neighbors like from my window, and I would like watch the way they interact with him, and there's always something weirdly condescending about the way, I guess, white people interact with, you know, somebody who is, you know, doesn't have a very strong grasp on the English language. And that's, like, not even, like, he you know, might have, like, a thick accent, but he's pretty good at speaking English. Like,
mm-hmm.
you can totally understand what he's saying, but it's, like, that accent and his dark skin, like, the way that people sort of
interpret that.
And like they don't mean badly either. It's just like the way they see him, it's like they kind of treat him like a character. Like he's like the character in the neighborhood. Oh, it's like there's Pedro, like he's, you know, it's like the silly like Puerto Rican guy, and he's like, he's just trying to be friendly, but people always like, I don't know, they kind of interpret it like there's just always been something off about it to me. It's been like very sad to watch, because he definitely doesn't pick up on it either. Like
mm-hmm.
he just thinks like he's being like, you know, the friendly neighbor. But the way my neighbors have always like looked at him, it's been, I don't know, I've always had this like little like resentment about it, watching it all unfold in my neighborhood. But yeah, it's definitely made my upbringing, you know, it's been interesting for sure.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of like that's more of like things that you've observed involving like your father with like because of those things people have not been able to recognize they haven't been able to recognize like him for like who they understand his intent of like trying to be friendly, but like mm-hmm. they interpret it more like I want to go ahead and put it in this route and like this mindset, because I think when people like see somebody in that regard of like wanting to go, like having a thick accent and people not being able to understand mm-hmm. them, they go in the sense of like, oh, it's a learning role, like I'm going to teach.
Yeah,
and exactly when he doesn't yeah. need to be taught because he's an adult man.
It like, have you seen those like terrible clips from 90 Day Fiancé?
The only thing I know about that guy the only thing I know about 90 Day Fiancé is that there is a man who puts mayo in his hair and he has no neck and he is incredibly rude, and that's all I understand. All I've seen from it.
It's basically exactly what you said. The way he always talks to Rose, his fiancé, were they ever engaged? I don't know.
Well, that's for 90 days at least from what I can understand. Yeah.
The way that he always speaks to her is like, it's so condescending. Even like, she has that accent too, but she is a very smart woman. But he is always so like, always irritates me. The way he talks to her is just the worst. Like the way he kind of like, he's like, he like slows it, his speaking down so dramatically, like that made me feel like scared, like that made me feel bad, Rose. Like he talks to her like a little kid. It's so demeaning. It's like, it's the worst. But I don't, like, at least not in my neighborhood, it was never that dramatic.
Yeah,
but you know, you can definitely, you can things
notice that sort of lilt in their voice where they like they speak in a different way than they would like when they were just talking to somebody else and they talked to
him. Really, yeah, and it's sad. Like it really is sad, especially because you know, living in an American neighborhood after spending your whole life in Puerto Rico can be a very isolating thing. And I mean, in this situation, I guess like ignorance is bliss. You know, it's better off that he doesn't really realize that that's like a thing, but because he's fine, like he's fine. He's vibing. He's chill. But you know, from my perspective, I've always been kind of just like brooding from my window, like, oh, white people, like, why do you do this? Like,
as a half, leave my dad alone. As like a. I guess I'm 75% white. Yeah, I got a quarter Mexican in me. As like a 75% white guy, I understand brooding against white people. In that regard of like seeing that from like my, like I've personally seen things involving like not only that from like my friend, from like either friends or other sort of like, well, friends quote unquote, or like other family members who have done these sort of things to like even my other family members, like involved with like, because I'm saying this more to relate to you, not to steal from the spotlight, but like I have sometimes at big family reunions that we have like either they like cross over, they see each other, like sometimes some of my people on my grandmother's sisters and like they might have somewhat of an accent or like have a different sort of way of speaking because of like they were raised in a fully like Hispanic household, and then they learned English. They mostly spoke English still, but they still have like little like differences in their accents, and you can tell like sometimes those things can like cross through their mind of like some of my other family members who then see it and like they talk to them a little bit differently than the other ones.
Yeah,
and
I'm just
like,
exactly,
I can see it. And sometimes when I'm like, I do it in a more of a learned sense because they're family. So I have to, but like, instead of like, hey, don't do that.
I'm like, I know. It's like, why? It sucks because again, it's like, it's like how you put it, like, you're putting it in like a learning situation. Like I'm going to teach you something. It's like, it really is just like the worst to watch, and it's especially in New York, like it is all around, like those types of interactions, and especially where I live, unfortunately, it's the amount of like people of color to white people is it's a lot more unfortunate that it is in like mainstream New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to deal with a little bit more ignorance and things like that than I would like to deal with.
Yeah, I can understand that being like a bit of a pain point for you. I think that's a good thing to like, good thing for other people to go and reflect on and understand. And we're getting a little bit closer and closer towards the end of the episode, but I want to go ahead and discuss something a little bit more personal with you. Your pronouns are they, them, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And you've pretty much been fine with any.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I was wondering if you'd be okay with like discussing like how you came to that realization that you were fine with like a majority of like nearly any pronouns to describe yourself, like in being that regard, like how is it that you like came to that point?
I've always had such a very strange relationship to womanhood and femininity. It goes back to my childhood and being, I guess, compared to my older sister all the time, who was, she, like, traditionally, like, feminine in every sense of the word, or conventionally feminine, whatever that means, you know? And I was pretty much the polar opposite, like, we definitely struggled a lot with our relationship because like she would always be upset with me like never wanting to like dress up with her or never wanting to do like any of the things. Like I remember one time we had very very unfortunate, like this like interaction that we had definitely had a major impact on my gender identity, because I remember I was so young. She said to me, like, she was like, you know, I was really excited when I found out that I was going to have a younger sister, but then it turned out I got you. And that was like, so to, at the time, I don't think it was like a super painful thing to hear. It was just very confusing because like, if you're a girl and you hear that your older sister is not, doesn't like perceive you as a girl, then it's like, what does that mean? You know? So it's just like weird little things like that have always happened throughout my my childhood, where my relationship with being a woman always seemed to be like challenged because I didn't really want to do it. Like I never wanted to be a like traditionally a girl, I guess. And unfortunately when I got to be, I was like going from middle school into high school, I'd been bullied like a lot. Like I was like a super nerd, and again, like I wasn't traditionally feminine. I was just like very like weird and like all over the place and kind of messy. And I was so tired of like being treated differently that I guess I was going to start presenting feminine, so just to make it stop, like. Just so people will, like, just see me as normal. And I did that all throughout high school. And I definitely just repressed so, so many feelings I had about my gender identity. And was the worst. And then it wasn't until, I guess, about 2 years ago, I started to reconsider my gender identity because I was seeing so many people online doing it and you know breaking convention and showing me that there are so many different ways that you can present yourself, and gender is not, you know, binary. It's not just male or female. It's a, you know, it's a whole spectrum. And I'm so lucky that that happened, because now I'm at a point where like I'm still confused about my gender, but I'm infinitely like more comfortable, you know. And I'm it's more comforting now knowing that I can just, you know, be what I want, and it doesn't have to be applied to any sort of like label or anything like that. And that's like, you know, what non-binary kind of means. It's like, you know, part of it is just, you know, it's your journey, you know. And I'm I still have like a long way to go in terms of that journey, but yeah, it's definitely been liberating, you know, seeing other people online, you know, their journeys, and you know, realizing, oh, like I don't have to repress this anymore. Like I'm at a point where I can just experiment, you know, learn what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah. We are getting towards the wrap up, wrapping up of this podcast, but I want to go ahead and I think that's a very important point that you have made. You have, yeah, I'm guessing that there's been a lot of, there have been quite a number of points in your life that you've like changed like the perception of who you are to other people to make things more comforting for others rather than for yourself, especially. And there has been the case with like yourself academically and yourself involved with like the way that you present yourself now, and the way you presented yourself, the way that you presented yourself. And there've been a lot of things that like have, I'm guessing, like not been truly yourself. But what I am, what I am glad to hear is that not only are you more along the lines of being true to yourself in a sense of passion, in a sense of your gender, and in a sense of who you are as a person, you're getting more and more able to realize like who you are and being able to present yourself in the manner of like true to you, true to who you are. And a lot of people can struggle with those sort of things, especially in their, especially in the younger years. A lot of different like people in terms of like when they grow up and they move and they don't realize like who it is that they are, it's hard to go ahead and even see themselves as like anything else but like who other people perceive them to be. And I'm glad that you've been able to go ahead and like at least challenge yourself in that regard of like, no, I'm not what people perceive me to be. I'm further than that. I'm more than that. And it's great to go and hear that, because not only there's a multitude of reasons why I wanted you to be on this podcast. Your music is of course phenomenal in quality. Your commission process and the story that you have involved with like growing from that point, which I didn't even know about, growing from like not focusing on music in its entirety to going from that to changing it to changing to your business style to going to here is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like hearing that your growth from there, and hearing that your story involving more about who you are as a person and discovering who you are and the life that you've lived and the things that you've experienced, I'm glad that you've been able to go ahead and make it to this point. And I hope to see you grow even further in the future, not only as an artist but as a person, because I definitely can see that you're on the right track for getting along those lines.
Thank you so much. This was like such an encouraging talk. Like I didn't even know that I needed this talk, but I think I definitely did. So thank you so much.
But of course. And you can follow Punchworm everywhere on Twitter and on Instagram. Yeah. You can go ahead and it's Punchworm on Instagram. Is that correct?
It is. Yes. Yeah. I don't post a ton on Instagram. I'm trying to change that. I'll be more music stuff there, I guess, in the future. Mm-hmm. But definitely Twitter is like my main platform.
Yeah.
Twitter, Instagram. Oh, I guess that's really it. Yeah.
Not to go ahead and give you a career change, but I know you may find it a little bit cringe, but TikTok, you'd blow up on TikTok like immediately.
Oh wait, I do have a TikTok. Wait, I make TikToks sometimes. Yeah, surprisingly, I haven't had much luck. I think I don't know, the algorithm is weird on TikTok, but I definitely do post accordion videos there. So you can follow me on Punchroom there too if you want.
Good. Go ahead and do that, because your work, as like I said earlier, is quality. It's great. I love your covers. I love your original work. And I want to go ahead and hear more from you. Thank you so much, Nina.
Thank you so much. Thank you.